Welcome to today's episode of the Normalized Surrogacy Podcast by Surrogacy Mentor. I'm your host, Marielle Schuberth, three-time gestational surrogate and intake manager for Surrogacy Mentor and Modern Parent Mentor, where our aim is a safe, ethical, and enjoyable surrogacy journey for all. Today, I'm excited to have Allison with us. Allison is well-versed in the world of assisted reproductive technology, or ART, as we like to call it. She is an IVF mom of two, experienced GC, and now works as a life and certified fertility coach with the American Association of Drugless Practitioners. Welcome, Allison.
Thank you, Marielle. It's great to be here. And I just want to say, I love the intro of safe, ethical, and enjoyable experience. And I'm sure you can relate. That was my
yes. It should be all three. They are not mutually exclusive in our eyes. And that's really what we aim for with Surrogacy Mentor, and all surrogacy journeys should be that. And so today's topic, we're going to talk to you a little bit about becoming a GC as an experienced IVF mom and kind of what that process was like for you. So why don't you tell us a little bit about you, your family, and what made you want to be a surrogate?
Great. I'm going to take you back in time just a little bit with my own journey, since it was a little unique. Most kids don't have experience with IVF because they don't typically have fertility problems. That was not my experience. And I am so thankful for my journey. It was one of the most challenging experiences of my life. So it took my husband and I 4 years to become pregnant through medical assistance. He had some fertility issues as well that caused us to have to use a donor sperm with getting pregnant with my two children. In the course of that process, we found that I was having trouble too. We thought that I would be fine. I was tested. Everything's fine. But really just things weren't working. Between 11 IUI attempts, one IVF and a miscarriage, I was at my wit's end. So for all of you intended parents watching this, just know that I hear you, I see you, I was you in this journey. We switched doctors about 3 years in and found that it was vitamin D deficiency that caused my infertility. And I still had four embryos ready and boom, took. So $5 vitamin was the fix for, you know, tens of thousands of dollars of IVF and also medically assisted reproduction.
Oh, man.
I know. And again, you know, things happen for a reason, but it's hard to see that in their mind.
Yeah, I would imagine.
So I had my two children. That was my family design. We just went into, I had Drew and Dylan. They are 7 and 9 now. And they're the light of my life. And I realized just through how hard it was to get pregnant and the village that it took to get me there with between acupuncturists, fertility coaches and nurses and, you know, just family and friends. The list can go on for this entire time. It was a village that got me here. And so after my second, I remember breastfeeding and saying, you know, I kind of want to help someone else out the way I was helped. I contacted my fertility clinic in Newport Beach, California. And my doctor, who I had come to now call as my hero forever, he said you would be a perfect candidate for surrogacy because you actually are the most fertile infertility patient I've ever had. Vitamin D deficiency. And so voila, he hooked me up with an agency and we were off to the races. I felt very fortunate. I found a local couple who was in my home city. And they were about 10 miles away. And we just clicked it instantly in that first meeting and said, all right, I choose you, you choose me, let's go. And that was, our journey was 2017 and 2018. And we are still family to this day. My two young boys adopted the baby and showed him how to be a baby. And I am a boy and get messy and all those things. And I got to, you know, have a new sister in motherhood. And, you know, again, to this day, I think of them as my own family. So
that's wonderful and amazing. I think that's a good thing to highlight, that not all types of infertility on the female side are disqualifiers for surrogacy. We've seen a couple of GCs who've used IVF to achieve their own pregnancies. The good thing about IVF and gestational surrogacy is really it just comes down to your uterus. If, as long as your uterus is in perfect working condition, having your own kind of struggles in fertility don't necessarily mean that you couldn't give that gift back to someone. And I love that you were able to do that. And what a cool way to kind of bring it back and bring a unique perspective, I think, to the family that you were caring for, because you could truly understand where the intended mom was coming from with the struggles and the hope and all of that, which I think is a perspective that not many GCs can offer to their intended parents, because many of us have not struggled with our own fertility and loss and IVF and all of that. And it's kind of hard for us to relate to them on that level. Obviously, we want to help them. That's why we're doing this. But to be able to truly relate to that probably helped, I would assume, develop a tighter relationship between the two of you, because you really could see each other and kind of be in this 100% together. Then you were also prepared for what was coming, right? You already knew all about the medications and injections and kind of what that whole process looks like, because aside from the egg retrieval, a surrogacy round of IVF is pretty much the same as if you were doing it for yourself. So how did your friends and family respond to you wanting to be a surrogate after, you know, going through all of your own struggles?
Such a good question. Because I have been so public with my own struggle, I think it was easily digestible by my friends and family. I think everyone understood how passionate I was about becoming a mom and seeing those struggles, that it was such a natural thing to say, yes, this makes total sense. Yep. And it also helps, as you know, as a GC, if you have easy pregnancies, then, you know, it's much more understandable. Like, yeah, I can see why you would do this.
Yep.
There were some no's, there were some naysayers and a lot of negative talk. And to me, that kind of became my teacher. And because of my own secondary infertility with just, it was so unexplained at the time, with my previous doctor, I heard a lot of that negative talk already. And so it was almost like that was my practice. Like I say no is a good teacher to a lot of my clients, because we hear a lot of that. Nope, it's too risky. No, the chances are low. No, the stats are this. So I don't think that you're going to get pregnant. And just really recognizing that, wait, this is my own journey. Like, this is that. Those are great. Those are other people's journeys, but that has nothing to do with me. I have something radically differently and wildly different than any other one's experience. So having that practice with, you know, recognizing what was true and what was just historical data, you know, that what applied to me, what didn't, was really a good practice for going into when friends and family said, you can pay me $5 million for that. You can die. You can. I mean, all things. It's just that was easy to just, no, I'm turning the channel because I want to help someone. I trust my body, especially after what I had been through, knowing that it could do this. And it was not only could do this, it was meant to do. And I'm so happy that I am honored to give that gift to someone who their body just didn't have that same opportunity.
Yeah. And I think that is so hard for people who don't understand it to understand it, right? It's like you can tell somebody the sky is blue, but if for them it's black, they're never going to see it as blue. Those who don't won't. They just, you can try to change somebody's mind. And I think going into it, knowing why you're doing it and knowing that you're doing a good thing and having that kind of faith in the process can help with those naysayers. Because if you're wishy-washy going into it and then you have all of these people, whether they're close to you or strangers, that is going to happen at least once. You're going to get some totally obscure comment that makes you think. And if you're not totally in it, 100%, you might start to question that and listen. So it's so good to go in fully prepared and just knowing you're doing a good thing, regardless of what anybody says. Hopefully not in your immediate circle, but a lot of times that is still true. I know in my case, it definitely was. My in-laws were not supportive in the least. And So it was just one of those, we're just not going to talk about it with you then. You have your opinion and that's fine. I have mine and we're just going to let it go because I wasn't wanting to hear that because I knew I was doing something good. And so I wasn't going to let them tell me that what I was doing wasn't good. It definitely helps to have that.
I always would tell myself, and I've heard it and used it in so many places in my life, and it's what other people think of me is none of my business. So, so many people can have that feeling, and it's up to me to, you know, really dive in deep and say, like, is this serving me now? Is this what I want now in my world? It's all that matters. People can think, people can have opinions. And that's just none of my business.
Yeah. And it's really hard, like in the moments to like know when you should or shouldn't like try to kindly educate somebody. Or I find it was hard for me in the very beginning to like correct people. But I don't need to explain my story to the checkout lady who's like, oh, what are you doing? Are you so excited? Like at first I would start, well, it's not mine. I'm a surrogate. And then I'm at the checkout for 20 minutes explaining all of this, like, you know. Sometimes it's okay to just roll with it and just move on. And then there are certain times where it is good because a lot of, I will say, most people who don't understand it, their comments might seem hateful or hurtful because you know you're doing something good. But majority of the time, it's not coming from a negative place. It's just coming from misinformation or people who just genuinely don't understand. And at least in my experience, I have found that majority of people, once they get it, well, at least stop with the comments. They may not fully understand, but once you explain it, they, you know, seem to come around a little bit more. So what about your kids? How did they respond to, I know they were probably, you know, right on that edge of understanding what you were doing. Sounds like they have a good relationship with your Suro baby now, but like when you were pregnant, were they involved in the process? Did they kind of know what was happening or were they kind of too young at that point?
So my children were 2 and 4 at the time, and they had, we were very open with just, you know, the struggles that mommy had trying to bring them into this world. And we were just so excited that they were here, you know, just spirit, God, universe, whatever you want to call on your end, just really brought them to me and my husband. And so we were really open with that. And so we explained how, you know, how mommy had some issues. Well, there are other mommies that have issues too, but their babies are trying to get to them as well. So sometimes we need a little help. And so there was a lot of conversation about how I have something that this other mommy doesn't have. And so I want to give and let her borrow what mommy has to give to her. And they don't call me mommy anymore. I'm pretty sure I get called bra more than anything. So but yes, it was very, you know, like, oh, it's from a place of we're giving this. And so they responded well. There were a lot of questions. They're like, well, how does that, like, they just didn't understand because that was beyond. So we kept it at the, just their babies are trying to get to that mommy. And I got something that will help with that. And, you know, my 2-year-old at the time loved calling me the house, you know, you're the house.
I love that.
I was the house. But they seemed to get it. And I brought them in. I said, I'm going to need your help too. You have to show baby Aaron the ropes. You have to show, you know, all that stuff that boys know how to do. And so they're like, all right, I got a job. And it was really cool to just experience that we are adopting this family and mentoring them to become the best family that they can be. And so it was very positive. There weren't a lot of questions because they just were too young for that. Had they been older, like now I am going through another journey and they have different questions and it's just, well, how does that work specifically? And so those are harder to answer. So for all you moms of older tweens, you know, it's a new journey.
Yes. And mine for my last journey were at that point where they started to understand a little bit more and then came into trying to figure out the birds and bees talk in an age appropriate way because I've done 3 journeys were kind of under this impression that you get pregnant by going to the doctor's office and that's how babies come. And so trying to find that line, well, that's not how all babies come. And it gets a lot because they have a lot more specific questions. So tell us a little bit about your surrogacy experience. You said that you lived in close proximity to the intended parents. So were they able to be super involved with the pregnancy, appointments, things like that, and the delivery? Like, tell us what that was like with having intended parents so close, because my experiences were all very far away. So I never had that kind of daily possibility of meeting with them.
I think that's a great question. I think that everyone involved in my journey, we were all very respectful of each other's time. You know, I because of my unique situation, I understood that this may be where there's a lot of anxiety and anxiousness with it. And, you know, I recognized from my own waiting time periods, there was a, like, you're waiting for the shoe to drop, right? Like, just, there's something's got to go wrong. So I really tried to keep an open dialogue with that. Like, you know, I understand this time is hard, and I probably didn't do the right things either, but it really was more empathy, I think, was a theme that we all had. Like, I hear you. I recognize in this 2-week wait there, it's a tough time to be just sitting there. So why don't we just get together for dinner and start talking about something other than this? You know, we created a friendship from it, you know, almost with the umbrella of this bond that we had as GC and IP. So it really kind of a distraction in those moments of like, oh my gosh, we've been waiting so long for this. I hope it works. And maybe what if it doesn't? So playing that game was our fun game of distracting ourselves.
Yeah. Do you think it made it harder for you in that beginning because you could truly understand that the angst in that 2-week wait? Because I know at least my first journey, especially, I went into this like, oh, I didn't quite understand fully where they were coming from and why they couldn't be excited and all of those things. I could imagine, but I really didn't understand until I had my first miscarriage as a gestational carrier. And then I got it. I was like, oh, okay, this is what this feels like. So do you think kind of personally knowing that weight made it harder on you as a GC because you could truly understand how she was feeling?
In a way, it gave me another job. You know, my job wasn't just to be the house, like my 2-year-old said, but it was actually to be, you know, a source of support. Like, I get it. I know it, you know, and I also know the miracle that can ensue. So it was just hold on, you know, like, I understand it seems bleak or it doesn't, but just recognizing the range of emotions instead of like, why aren't you excited? We're here. I'm going to get pregnant. Voila. Rainbows and unicorns.
Yep. No, that's so true. Because you had the after, the happy after that you could offer them. Like, I get it. I know it. But look at here. Look at my kiddos. And so I think you were able to offer that hope in a different way. And so were they able to be really involved with the pregnancy? Is that something that they wanted?
They were. And so we really aligned. And this is a unique story. It's not for everyone, but this just happened to be mine. We just were really aligned with that. Transparency and communication were our number one and number two things that were just non-negotiables. Like, if there was a problem, I needed to hear about it and vice versa. And something came up, like emotion or feeling or whatever it was, we need to talk about it. And so we really kept open lines of communication. I was fine with this was their journey. They had not only, you know, put so much emotional investment into it, they had also put a financial investment into it that was significant. And so I wanted them to have a journey that they dreamed of. And so they said, well, we'd like to be involved if you're okay. And I was okay with it. I mean, as moms, like, you lose the like meek, you know, I'm modded now. It's fine. Come on in.
Yeah. Once you've gone through labor and delivery, none of this matters anymore. Go for it.
And I think because they were involved with, probably 90% of the appointments, except at the end where we have to do the stress testing pretty much every day at that point. Mm-hmm. But they were in the delivery room. And that was really special in that it was, you know, here's your baby, not to me, to them. It was, they got first in the interaction with Aaron, and it was lovely. And, you know, just the fact that we could share that, and just all three of us together in that situation, my husband and me do, but the three of us really were bonded in that moment. And so it's a special moment today. And some people they don't want that same experience. That's totally okay. So that's my advice to GCs, is like really keeping don't try to be something that they want. Be what you want. Like, just whatever you're comfortable with, say it, declare it, and stick to it. Because it's your journey too.
Yep. And what's funny, I just did an episode with an experienced GC who's, well, experiencing GC. She's currently pregnant and kind of navigating all of that currently. And her thoughts on their involvement have kind of changed throughout the process. You know, she didn't think that she was going to want the type of relationship that she wanted, and then kind of is navigating like, oh, well, I guess I did want them more involved. It's just finding your voice and being able to speak up and say that so that you're not kind of in this place where you feel weird and afterwards, like, well, you should have said something. We would have been there. We just didn't think you wanted us. And so really finding your voice and knowing what you are and aren't comfortable with and being okay that that may change. You may think you want them in the delivery room and you get there and you're like, oh God, all these people are looking at me and I want everyone out. That's okay too. But that's amazing that they were able to be there. And it sounds like you all are still close. Do you guys still have a close relationship now that it's been a little while? Or
it is. I mean, obviously our visits are a little less frequent. They now have another son. And so they're very busy because that's a lot too, you know, very young age.
Yeah.
And, but yes, we still just, there's so much reverence for each other, for the process and for everything. And just, you know, and the real thing, and especially with the GC that you just interviewed, you know, just that's a testament to the flexibility. Yes. But having flexibility with each other and recognizing that it's not personal. It is just truly making the experience as beneficial for all parties involved. Yes. Not just baby, not just mom, not just dad, not just GC. All yes. parties involved.
Yep.
And that I think is really in service to the whole process. So as far as a relationship, I love it because it can be a quick text saying, you know, happy birthday to whichever one is their birthday.
Yes.
Or we haven't seen each other in a while. Let's go grab some dinner. And it's like we pick up whenever, you know, that we never left off. So we're definitely bonded in spirit in so many ways.
I love that. And so how did your journey to parenthood yourself and helping others achieve theirs kind of lead you to this new role that you are doing in your professional life?
Great question. And as Marielle said, I'm a certified fertility coach with the American Association of Drugless Practitioners. And really, I think that I could not have this role had I not had the journey that it was rife with loss, with agony, with like I said, no's and high risk and all the negative thoughts that come in. And truly, I'll tell you a quick story. I remember one moment I saw, my cousin. We were on a vacation and she was 17 weeks, I think, pregnant. And, she felt the baby kick for the first time, like truly kick, like as a first time mom, you like go, oh, how was it? No, like, you know,
that first one,
that's what I've been waiting for. So it was that, and her husband was there, and there was a lot of the firsts, you know, like that first feeling, that love that is just so bonded of experiencing that. And I was 3 years into my journey of not being able to be pregnant and so many failed cycles, failed losses or failed cycles. And I had to run in the other room and we were staying in like a house, and there was a little casita, and I went to the casita and I just screamed the most agonizing scream.
Oh.
The one that hurts your muscles to the point where you just feel your body ripping apart because of just agony. And it was just tears. And I remember then getting myself together and going back to the table, back to the other house part, it like nothing happened. And it really was a testament to the suffering and silence that women who are going through infertility or not the news of not being able to carry or the news of just the no's, the challenges of this that were unexpected. I will remember that moment, and I'm getting kind of emotional because of it. I will remember that moment forever. And I just, in my clients, I see them and I hear them. I was them in those moments. And I just want nothing more than my arm around them and just say, you're not alone, even in unique fertility journey. And let's navigate it together. Let's get in the boat and we will get to the other side together.
Yeah.
And so I think that with everything, with the surrogacy, with the infertility, with challenges, with even, you know, marital challenges, it drew me to this place of wanting to just add to the total sum of love in this world through family, community, and self-love. And that's why I got here. And I couldn't be more fulfilled in my role, in my legacy, in my work, and in just my current life.
That's amazing. I love that. And it's so hard when you are the person suffering, or on the other end, someone who is around somebody who they know is experiencing, you know, infertility or things like that. And it's such a hard place, because I can speak from my experiences too, that, you know, you see somebody who's pregnant and you want to be happy for them, and you genuinely are happy for them and sad for you at the same time. Just because I'm crying right now doesn't mean that I'm not so happy for you, and doesn't mean that I don't want you to tell me things. It just means I'm so excited and so sad, and those things can be together. And that can definitely be a tough spot to be in. And so having somebody who can really empathize with that on your side and just know that, I think that's such an amazing gift that you're able to offer other people within the realm of surrogacy and outside of that, just people navigating their own journeys through parenthood and life. I think it's a great thing that you're able to offer people.
So often do we feel like we're just drowning in information, but starving for wisdom through this fertility journey. I mean, Dr. Google is so confused.
Yes.
That was part of my issue, was that I felt so lost. It was like wandering aimlessly through an unknown area and just hoping to get back on track. So I feel like I can provide some sort of, as a coach, provide a GPS. Like, this is our plan. This is our path. It may go off, you know, depending on the traffic and obstacles. However, we have a foundation of lifestyle, nutrition, mindset, and just, you know, compatibility. So yep. It really is. I know when I was going through it, I was like, I'd look up something and then I'd look up something else, and then it would be totally misaligned. And doctors, they just need to get you through. So they're not there to just put their arm around you and just go, it's okay. They do their best. I loved my doctors. And I just felt that some additional support would have been helpful to create the action plan for transformation that I was looking for.
Yep. No, and that's a perfect way to put it, for sure. And so now that you've kind of been through all of this, what advice do you have for intended parents who are struggling and women who are considering becoming a gestational surrogate? Because you have this kind of unique perspective on both.
Very true. And I love that question. As far as the GC, don't settle. Do what feels right. There always will, even though you're going to think that it should last a certain amount of time. You'd ask someone who's considering gestational carry, and I'm sure people would say, well, it takes about 9 months, 10 months. No, it takes longer. You're talking a year and a half to 2 years, depending on legal, depending on all the processes. So yep. Don't settle. This is a relationship you will potentially have for years. So if there's something not right, don't feel like you have to say yes, even though an agency is saying to say yes, or be pushed into a situation. Do what's right for you. Do what's right for your family and your peace of mind. You'll know. You'll know when it's right. You don't have to guess it. You've got all the inner wisdom. So that would be my number one. And this is for GCs and IPs, that the communication piece, be totally honest with each other. If there's something that's not feeling right, each side wants to know. The worst thing to happen is that you're overly polite and you clam up and you don't be your self-advocate for your own journey. So just put it out on the table, set that up at the beginning, saying we are going to have a candid relationship that will be totally transparent and honest. Because the worst thing, after so much time, energy, money, everything, if there's something that's found out that just is not expected and absolutely not aligned with your original agreement, it will be a problem. So transparency and communication.
Yep. And I can say, I know I've talked about this several times. My second journey was very much like that at the end, where we were very close. We had a very great relationship. And then towards the end, after the baby came, they didn't want to push him on me and make me feel uncomfortable. And I didn't want to ask to like see them or hold him because I didn't want them to feel uncomfortable. And so nobody was saying it. And ultimately, I did want to hold the baby and they wanted me to hold him, but we were all being too careful of each other's feelings that then neither of us got what we wanted. And that could be anything, not just after birth, but with everything. Yeah, being finding your voice, even though I can say personally, it can be hard, but it's very important for your sake and theirs, because they don't want, I know intended parents don't go into this wanting to walk all over you and only have it their way. They are very caring and mindful of you and your feelings as well. And so voice them so that they know, because if you don't, then they may be doing something that makes you feel uncomfortable or whatever, or vice versa. But yeah, communication, I think, is absolutely top on the list there. That brings us to the end of this episode of the Normalized Surrogacy Podcast by Surrogacy Mentor. I want to thank our very special guest, Allison, for joining us for this chat today. Be sure to check us out online at surrogacymentor.com and modernparentmentor.com if you're interested in knowing whether surrogacy is right for you, and take our 2-minute easy quiz on our website if you're interested in becoming a surrogate. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast to learn more about gestational surrogacy and how to have a safe, ethical, and enjoyable surrogacy journey. Talk to you next time.